This is The Science of Self, a podcast brought to you by Newton Media Group and Peter Hollins. Today is Friday, July 9th, 2021. Rapid knowledge acquisition and synthesis. How to quickly learn, comprehend, and apply and master new information and skills. Learning How to Learn, Book 11, written by Peter Hollins, narrated by Russell Newton. Technique 2, variety is the spice of good learning. Another well-researched and documented approach to learning can be summarized easily: mix it up. William E. Hockley found in a 2008 paper in the Journal of Experimental Psychology, Learning, Memory, and Cognition, that the environmental context of learning has a big impact on recall and quality of understanding. Basically, if you're constantly shifting your study environment by moving locations, you give your brain more material to work with in creating memorable associations. While it's true that you want your study area to be free of distractions and clutter, you can provide your brain with more easily recalled stimuli by changing where and how you sit, the direction you face, the room you're in, and so on. You're also more likely to make connections, remembering, for example, that you learned XYZ when on the sofa that rainy morning, and ABC the following day outside in the sunshine. You remember it more easily because you can recall the sound of the birds at the time and the feeling of the deck chair against your legs. It's not quite a photographic memory, but it brings you closer to the moment you first learned the material. As you study, switch things up and involve as many senses as possible. Gentle, varying music in the background, a different beverage or snack each time, some incense one day, and a hot water bottle the next. These are all cognitive breadcrumbs to help you find your way back to the learned material. What about the Mozart effect, or the claim that listening to Mozart during study will somehow improve recall? Plenty of research has been done into the effects of different kinds of music on learning, some of it conflicting. If you're trying to concentrate hard and memorize, silence may be best. So it might work to have white noise in some earphones if you're in a place where traffic, coughing and sneezing, or random noises could interrupt your flow. Research by Nick Purim and Joanne Vizard in 2011 indicated that music during study can increase attention and memory and boost mood. But it doesn't really matter what style of music that is. Generally, not too loud music without lyrics at a steady beat can boost concentration. Choose something pleasant, but avoid anything you like too much, as this could become distracting and actually worsen performance. Much of the effect of including elements like music or varied environments while learning has been put down to the feeling state induced by such things. When our brains are flooded with dopamine and we're relaxed and calm, we're more likely to be able to focus and learn. To this end, you might choose to include a meditative practice or other pleasing ritual into your study plan. Just a few minutes of meditation done before you embark on your learning can encourage calmness, clearing away anxious thoughts, and rumination so that you're better prepared to begin study with a clear and receptive mind. A 2016 study done on Taiwanese university students by Ho Hoi Ching and colleagues showed that taking a semester-long mindfulness and meditation course improved both the attention and memory of the students. This is no surprise to anyone who has tried to learn anything while stressed, low on sleep, depressed, or distracted. If your brain is constantly running off in all directions and distracted by its own chatter, there's far less mental energy available for focusing on learning what's in front of you. In addition to helping you quiet your mind, meditation can support emotional self-regulation, strengthen your body-mind connection, and connect you to your overarching goals and intentions for learning. The brain is a complex thing. It doesn't operate linearly like a computer, and sometimes the connections it makes don't follow the logic they should. However, you can take advantage of your brain's natural creativity, plasticity, and connectedness. Use mnemonics, analogies, storytelling, or jokes to help cement ideas in your memory. The more colorful, outrageous, or even rude the association, the more you're likely to remember it. Add dimension and flavor to your learning so you have more nodes to draw connections between. If you're learning about a certain historical period, listen to the music of that era while you study. Imagine soap opera-like dramas between the key characters and relate them to your own friends and family. You might even find movies and TV shows that are set in the same era and watch them to help yourself visualize that era better. Create mind maps, comics, doodles, songs, or puns to help link ideas together. By using emotion and variety, you give your brain a richer and more dynamic stimulus. If you only remember one thread from this complex patchwork, you can pull on it to more easily recall the entire thing. Relate information back to yourself, back to emotive or personally relative topics, back to the context you're studying, and to anything that means something to you. Your brain will always remember and prioritize things that appear to be more pertinent and meaningful. Finally, consider interleafing, which some research has suggested is more effective than learning in fixed blocks when you study only one type of problem at a time. Interleaved practice essentially means you mix up study materials, problems tackled, and methods in a single study session. For example, you don't merely read through a chapter on one algebraic operation and then complete a practice run of 20 problems using that operation, but rather practice a range of problems of different kinds. This may work best if you first study in blocks to become familiar with the basics, but as soon as you're able, start mixing things up to encourage more nimble problem solving, i.e., teaching your brain not only to solve problems, but also to recognize the difference between different problems and how to solve them. It's a little like a dynamic CrossFit training day, rather than a session that focuses solely on one muscle group. Countless studies have proven the effectiveness of interleaving for better critical thinking, more accurate problem solving or diagnosis, improvements in sports such as baseball and basketball, memory associations, math, and foreign language acquisition, to name a few. Research by Doug Rohrer et al. In 2015 showed that interleaved practice benefits math learning more than conventional practice in blocks, and Sean Kang from Dartmouth College has written an entire book on how interleaving can improve motor skill acquisition, metacognition, and recall in a wider range of areas. If you're finding value in the content from Peter Holland's book, Rapid Knowledge Acquisition and Synthesis, you can get a copy of the audiobook on Audible. The link to this, of course, is in the show notes. Also in the show notes, you'll find the link to bit.ly/Peter Hollins, where you can request your copy of his free Human Nature Cheat Sheet, 7 Surprising Psychology Studies That Will Change the Way You Think. This has been Rapid Knowledge Acquisition and Synthesis, How to Quickly Learn, Comprehend, and Apply, and Master New Information and Skills. Learn How to Learn, Book 11. Written by Peter Hollins. Narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2020 by Peter Hollins. Production copyright by Peter Hollins.